Hey, church, like as said, my name is Bella and I'm the youth director here. I love our youth. Shout out to our youth over here. We're in week two of youth and I'm looking at my seniors and I can't look too long because I have to say farewell for a little bit in a few weeks, but we're excited of what's happening at youth and excited what's happening at this church. I mean, just being in worship this morning, there's such an amazing excitement and joy, and I really truly believe that there's an expectation this morning. And as said, we're continuing on our series, the I Am series, and we're in week three, but in the first week, Az spoke about the fact that Jesus said, I am the true vine. And in week two, he spoke about, I am the bread of life. Now, all of us, no matter who we are, if you found yourself at church for the very first time, maybe you heard some loud drums, some music playing, and you thought, what the heck, a concert is going on in there, and you just walked in the door. If you found yourself in here for the very first time, or if you've been here for many, many years, all of us will inevitably, in our lives, have to answer this one question. Who is Jesus to me? Who is Jesus to me? Was he a good man? Was he a godly man, or was he God? And throughout the time on his earth, Jesus shared just seven statements that started with, I am. Seven statements, and we refer to them as the I Am statements. And in this series, we're unpacking each one of these statements. Now, week one, Pastor Az, if you haven't listened to these are all on the podcast, so you can get caught up. For week one, Az tackled, I am the true vine. And it was all about the fact that Jesus is, in fact, the true vine. And that when we're connected to the true vine, we produce good fruit. Yeah, it was awesome. Week two, Az tackled, I am the bread of life. And Jesus is the bread that feeds and sustains not only our physical body, but our spiritual being. The world is hungry for this bread that is Jesus. Such an awesome message. And so this leads us to week three. And this week, I'm sure you're thinking, what could it be? What are we going to talk about? And so this week, I am tackling the statement when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And so we're going to read from chapter 10 in John this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. If not, it's going to be behind me. And so we're going to read from John chapter 10. Verses 11 to 16. And this is Jesus, and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. For the past 3 to 4 weeks, I've dedicated my life to becoming a shepherding and sheep expert. I've studied... Don't laugh, this is my life. I've studied the manner and the customs of the ancient shepherds of Israel. And so if you have come here not knowing much about the topic, well, congratulations, you will leave here with a wealth of knowledge about shepherding and sheep. You're very welcome. But hey, in order to understand Jesus as the good shepherd, I think that first we need to understand the parallel between us and the sheep. Is that all right? Us and the sheep. And so why does he refer to us as sheep? If I were to choose an animal, and I'm sure we've all done this in our lives, maybe as kids, if you were an animal, what would you be? Have you ever like asked that question before? Well, if I was an animal, or if I had to choose an animal for myself, I would choose something epic, like a lion. Something ferocious like that, or a tiger, or a bear, or something. But God calls us sheep. And so I actually have a photo of a sheep that I love. That is what God refers us to. Why would he choose that? Anyway, I don't know. My nana actually has sheep. And I've seen the little lambs when it comes to that season, and they're very cute, right? They're very cute. And sheep are, they can be extremely lovable and gentle, but in all honesty, sheep are not the smartest of animals. A few sheep facts for you, just to put under your belt. Sheep have no sense of direction. Like, absolutely not. Have you ever heard the term, don't be a sheep? It's because they follow the other sheep around. They follow each other around. They follow the person in front of them. And it's for a good reason. They have no sense of direction at all. Sheep rely on the shepherd to lead them and guide them in a way in which direction they should go. Sheep need a shepherd. Fact number two, sheep cannot get themselves back up. If a sheep finds themselves in the predicament that they are on their back, if they've fallen or rolled over, the sheep cannot actually get themselves back up again. Without a shepherd to actually pull them, that they would just be lying there. If you actually just think about that for a second, it's quite hilarious. But the point is, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are emotional. Did you know this? Research shows that sheep experience trauma have a cognitive change, that they actually show emotions such as positivity and even pessimism. Could you imagine coming across a pessimistic sheep? Sheep need a shepherd. Fact number four, sheep are defenseless. Defenseless against wolves and larger predators. When threatened, get this, even a herd of goats will line themselves up in a mutual line of defense, a ring around them, right? What do sheep do? They scatter. They freak out and they scatter. Sheep need a shepherd. I don't know about you, but I know many different times in my life I've related to one, if not all, of these sheep like characteristics. I've had moments when I've felt lost and I felt like I've had no sense of direction. A time like that in my life was simply when I left school. I felt like I had no direction in my life. And in that moment, I needed a shepherd. I've had moments where I felt like I've been knocked down, unable to get myself back up again. I've needed a shepherd. I felt lost in emotions and worries. Many times in my life, I've needed a shepherd. I felt defenseless and threatened, wanting to run and scatter, unable to withstand the battles that life throws at me, needing a defender. I've needed a shepherd. And actually, this photo of the sheep, if we can get it up there again. I actually printed this photo out one day this year, sometime months ago. I printed it out. And I put it in my Bible, and I laugh every single time I open it. But it reminds me, actually, I need a shepherd. That I need a shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd. Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. Not just the shepherd, but the good shepherd. Now, the occupation of a shepherd is mentioned throughout the Bible. A lot of great leaders that God actually raised up began as shepherds. Moses, who led all of Israel out of Egypt, began as a shepherd. King David, actually, before he was anointed, he was a shepherd boy before he was anointed to become king. And so we can see that God believes there's a significant parallel to a shepherd and his flock and a leader and his people. In fact, the kings were considered to be a shepherd of his people. But what is the life of a shepherd really like? Glad you asked. Now, as we look through the characteristics and the life of what a shepherd would look like in ancient Israel, I just want to encourage us. See if you have eyes to see the characteristics of Jesus in this. How is Jesus the good shepherd? All right, we're going to look at some characteristics of a good shepherd. A good shepherd, point number one. You can write it down if you so choose. If not, memorize it in your mind. A good shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd's primary role was to care for his sheep. Sheep were a source of currency and were considered valuable. So much so that a shepherd, if a sheep were to be lost, would actually pay for that sheep himself. One of the key differences with shepherds of Israel is the fact that they would lead their sheep rather than driving up behind them. Unlike Western shepherds who drive their flock from behind, the shepherds of Israel walk ahead of their animals to assure them of their presence and to inspect the terrain for danger. Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, a flock would need to be watered and fed, just like all of us. Otherwise, we get hangry. We know it. But the thing about sheep is that when a shepherd would lead them to a stream of water, sheep are actually afraid of moving or agitated water. Like, can we please get the picture of how annoying sheep are? Can you imagine being a shepherd, right? You're in Israel, like Israel. Oh, we still got the sheep there. The photo here is actually, this is Israel. This is as took this photo of Israel. It's dry. It's rocky. It's hard. It's a hard land to walk through. Could you imagine leading your flock through that for hours and hours each day, hot, hot day in Israel? You come to a free-flowing stream of water and the sheep turn their noses up at it. Or worse, someone tries to have a drink and they fall in and can't get themselves back out again. And so this is what the shepherd would do. The shepherd would actually lead the sheep to a pool of still water. There's a famous psalm that reflects on God being the shepherd, and I want us to read from it. It's Psalm 23. And as and Beck love giving kind of like Bible challenges out, and so my Bible challenge today is to read through Psalm 23 in your own time, but with this new knowledge of shepherding and sheep. And so we're going to read from verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 23, and it says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Still waters. That's not just for the photo opportunity. That's because he knew that sheep won't drink from agitated or running water, that he needed to lead us to still waters. When Jesus says that I am the good shepherd, he's saying, I know what you need. That he knows us. How cool is that? The good shepherd will never lead you to something that you cannot handle. A pool of still water when you can revive yourself without fear. You are valuable to him. He cares for you. He has a plan for your life. And he knows exactly what you need, church. All right, green pastures. Sheep not only need to be watered, but they need to be fed. Just like me. Josiah knows it. Now, I want to bring a revelation to you, because this was a revelation to me. The term green pastures, okay, when you hear the term green pastures, do you usually think of like this green hillside with like rolling lush green grass? That's what I think of. That's usually what's depicted in paintings, and there's sheep in there and they're just living their best life. Well, actually, green pastures in Israel refer to something very different. It doesn't always rain in Israel. And so the small bit of rain that does come and the moisture that comes from the sea actually condensates in the air, and at night it falls on the rocks. And as we can see it's quite a rocky terrain. This is Israel. But when the air condensates and the rocks kind of get moist, it leads to a small tuft of grass that grows just enough for a mouthful. We have a photo just there. Just a small tuft from the condensation of the rocks. And so this is just enough for the sheep to eat for one day, this green pasture. And so they would eat just one tuft at a time, they'd move on, and then when they were done, the shepherd would move them on. The shepherd would lead his sheep to enough for one day, and the next day, the sheep would follow the shepherd and trust that he would lead them to another green pasture. Sheep need a shepherd. Just like the story Pastor Az spoke about last week with the manna from heaven and the people of Israel, the people were only meant to collect enough food for what they needed for that day and trust that God would provide for them tomorrow and the next day and the next day. God doesn't give you all that you need forever. He gives you what you need right now. Be encouraged. He will give you enough strength for right now. He will give you enough of what you need for right now. So when we follow the shepherd, we can trust that he will lead us to what we need. We can trust the shepherd. All right, point number two. A good shepherd knows his sheep and his sheep know him. I read from John chapter 10 again, but from verse 27 to 30. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." When Jesus preached using a shepherding illustration, the local people all over Israel would have known exactly what he was speaking about. They understood the occupation of a shepherd. They understood the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. And so we're kind of learning that for the first time, but they would have known what it meant. The local people would have known exactly what he was speaking about because sheep actually will only ever listen to their one shepherd's voice. Sometimes a shepherd would mix in their sheep with another shepherd's flock so that they could split the night shift, basically, and that they would have turns in sleeping. And that when they would mix them in, you'd think, what are we going to do in the morning? Well, actually, it was no trouble because one shepherd would just call out for his sheep and only his sheep would follow his voice. The sheep would only respond to their shepherd's voice. I actually have an example of this through a video, so if we want to chuck that on the screen, have a look.
One more time.
Oh, what is
that'll do.
With that, but I just thought we're not impressed when our dog comes when we say, "Come here." But a bunch of sheep, that's really cool. Hey, that so many other people tried to imitate the shepherd's voice, but the sheep would only listen to the shepherd's voice. How cool is that? Amazing. And so, practically, here's a question: how can we know the shepherd's voice? How do these sheep know their shepherd's voice? How do they just not run to a voice that calls out to them? How do they know their shepherd's voice? Number one, being close to the shepherd. Sheep would be so used to hearing the shepherd's voice from being around him every single day. We cannot know someone if we don't spend time with them. To get to know the shepherd means spending time in the presence of God. This includes your quiet time with God, time throughout the week where you actually sit down and focus on the shepherd's voice. This also means coming to church. Wow, what a place to hear and be in the presence of the shepherd. a day like this where we can all be in one flock in the presence of our shepherd. Number two, how can we know the shepherd's voice is constantly listening to his voice? Being in the Word of God. Being in the Word of God is equal to knowing his voice. One of my biggest struggles when I first became a Christian, when I was a young Christian, and Josiah will know this because I would ask him constantly about stuff, is I would be so conflicted as to whether or not I was hearing from God or if I was just making it up in my head. And if that's you, please be encouraged. Everyone goes through that. Everyone here goes through that. And so I had to go on this journey of learning, and someone actually taught me, actually, the Word of God is the voice of God. And that when we read the Word, we can have full confidence that it is, in fact, God speaking to us. The Word is alive and active. And if you read it, you will hear from God. And so when I was in moments where I felt like I was hearing from God, I could actually test it and go, does this align with the Word of God? Because if it aligns with the Bible, then you can know it is from your shepherd. How cool. If you need a Bible and you don't have one, please come see either myself, Pastor Az, or Beck, or someone in Next Steps. We will give you a Bible today. When we're following the shepherd, we will know the shepherd's voice. When Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, I know my sheep, not only refers to having the knowledge that he knows who you are, but something closer, way more affectionate and way more intimate than that. It is a relationship. Jesus knows you, and that his sheep know him. It's a relationship. Point number three, what a good shepherd does. A good shepherd protects his sheep. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The shepherd's most important job was to protect his flock from wild animals. A shepherd's need to be vigilant was never ending. All day he kept an eye on the animals, and at night he would actually sleep with himself stretched across the doorway in between anything and his sheep. There are at least two items that a shepherd would carry that he would use to protect his flock. One, you may have kind of noticed this one, the staff. You kind of imagine a shepherd holding like a staff. Now, the staff was about 6 feet long and often crooked at the end and was useful for actually guiding the flock. Young sheep often felt the touch of it helping them guide over difficult terrain. He would lift them up and help them over different terrain, pulling them out of pits and ditches which they had fallen, which we all know sheep have a tendency to do. If a sheep had fallen into water that was in over its head or swept along by the current, the staff was an emergency tool to use to protect them, to rescue them. At night, each of the animals would pass under the staff, and the shepherd would account for each and every single one of them. Can you see Jesus in this? Get this, the sheep were comforted by the sight of their keeper's staff. Now, I completely missed this. I told Josiah about this last night. I was reading through Psalm 23. It actually says in that psalm that your rod and your staff comfort me. I was like, mind blown. Item number two that a shepherd would have would be the rod. Now, when you think of a shepherd, get this. The rod was about 3 feet in length. It was made from the root of a trunk of a sapling oak, and the knob of the root was formed into a head of a club, and it actually had pieces of metal and flint driven into it. Now, often when we think of a shepherd, we just think of a man holding a little lamb, strolling through the frolicking like meadows of green. So cute, adorable. That's what we think of. But actually, being a shepherd was hardcore. It was hard. And being a good shepherd required sacrifice. So much so that the shepherd would sleep in the doorway of the sheep, so that if anything were to come through, he put himself between his flock, his sheep, and any danger, any threat. That if a predator came along, the shepherd would protect his sheep no matter what, no matter the cost. Jesus would lay his life down for the sheep. A good shepherd will protect his sheep, but the good shepherd, Jesus, will lay his life down for his sheep. John 10:11 says, the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. And it parallels with this verse found in 1 John 3:16. It says this, by this we know love, because he laid his life down for us. For us. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus laid his life down for you and for me. He took the weight of sin and death so that we wouldn't have to bear it anymore. Jesus' perfect self-sacrifice proves that he is, in fact, the good shepherd. That when he said, I am the good shepherd, it was true. He died on the cross, taking with him all sin and all shame. But 3 days later, he rose again in victory, defeating it. If you have never before, you can come close to the shepherd now. You can have a relationship with him. John 10:16 says this, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. If you don't feel like you've been in the flock, if you don't feel like you've been one of his sheep, he knows you, that you are his sheep, and he wants to bring you in. It says, they will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Church, you don't need any other shepherd than the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for his sheep. He knows his sheep. And he laid his life down for his sheep. Come on, church, let's pray. God, I thank you that you are, in fact, our good shepherd. That we can know that you will always be there for us, to protect us, to lead us. That you want good things for us, God. That you will bring us to places where we can have exactly what we need. That we will never be without when we follow close to you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in this room for the first time, or maybe you're just hearing about this guy, Jesus, the good shepherd, maybe you're not following in pursuit of him, and maybe you just feel in this moment, actually, I need a good shepherd. I need this. What Bella's talking about, I felt lost. I felt like I've needed guidance. I think I need a shepherd. If that's you this morning, you want to make that decision. You want to make that choice to say, you know what, Jesus, I want to follow you as my good shepherd. I want to trust in you. If you want to make that decision this morning, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I just want you to pop up your hand. I'll acknowledge it. You can pop it back down. It's just so I know who I'm praying for. And that's just a decision that says, I want to follow Jesus. If that's you, you want to follow the good shepherd, you want to make that decision this morning, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. So good, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are our good shepherd. God, that you are so good. And that when we feel distant, God, we know that you are right there leading us, taking us in the right direction. So God, we just pray that throughout this week, God, that we will cling close to you, Jesus. That we will see you in a new light as the good, good shepherd, Lord. That we will know that you are there always, ready to protect us, ready to lead us forward into our next, God, that we don't have to fear, but God, we're comforted by your presence. So God, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are, and we thank you for all that you will do with us this week. Come on, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.